And I understand that you can't talk about the specifics, say the facts of
yeah,
the case.
Yeah, the specific facts, I don't want to really get into those at this point. But I can, you know, tell you, there's certain things I can tell you about our strategy and what we expect and that sort of thing.
Well, that's kind of the angle I wanted to follow up on in a general sort of way. I would like to talk some about just how you're, as you say, strategy, how you're conducting the defense. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I've tried to look at this matter as a young man, as a very good young man, who has suffered some real adversity. Primarily, those adversities have been brought about by the use of drugs. So I think you can safely predict that our defense will use the drug addiction of Todd Bridges during the period of December of 1988 until the date of this incident in February of 89. There is a real issue of whether or not he could form the specific intent required to commit murder. He's charged with attempted murder. There's a real issue of that. And that issue is brought about not only by the fellow who was shot, the alleged victim in this matter, Kenneth Clay, who testified accordingly that he had met Todd Bridges, in December, right around Christmas time, that they had started using drugs, freebasing around that time, that when he saw him on the date of the shooting in February, that Todd Bridges had lost considerable weight. His speech was slurred in such a fashion he could hardly understand him. His eyes were bulging out, and that he appeared to be tremendously on the influence of drugs. This from the alleged victim. There was an altercation between the two of them, and we expect through some expert testimony to demonstrate that he couldn't really be guilty, really, of the attempted murder charge. So that what I would expect this case would rise and fall and be something in the nature of no more than an assault. Maybe an assault with a deadly weapon charge.
Sure. Okay. And
Sure.
Where were you? I don't know if you had finished your thought there. You had been kind of explaining.
Yeah,
what you're
just that I felt that it would this case would come down somewhere in the area of an assault, perhaps assault with a deadly weapon. And I think then you go to the fact that he had pretty much an exemplary record. He's had some contact with law enforcement, but nothing really of a serious nature. And then you balance that against the overwhelming good that he's done throughout much of his life as a kid and then as a young adult. And even now, Cameron, he is speaking out about the evils of drugs. And I think that's very appropriate. He's willing to say, look, do as I say. Don't do as I conducted myself. This is something that no one should have to go through. And I think he, everybody has to pay for their own acts. But I think that if you take the whole person, which I'm going to be asking the court to do at some point, I think there's every reason to believe that Todd Bridges is on the road to a full recovery, and he has the talent and ability to be a real worthwhile citizen. And I think that's what we want to emphasize, really.
Okay. Now, there's been some difficulty in getting him out on bail, and the bail's been pretty high. Your thoughts about the court's action with regard to that area?
I felt all along the bail was much, much too high. At the time of the prior to the preliminary hearing, I made my first bail motion. There was no bail. The judge, at the time of the preliminary hearing, as I recall it, set the bail at $2 million, and that's really exorbitant. We have, there are any number of defendants waiting trial in L.A. County on murder charges, and keep in mind, Todd Bridges' case at its soaking wet at the people's case in the strongest light is an alleged attempted murder. And they have bailed, some have bailed as low as $25,000. And I've contended that the bail has been grossly unfair, that they're seeking to punish him in advance, and some of it has to do with his status. He also had another charge brought against him, the robbery charge. We've now succeeded in getting the robbery charge dismissed because he was the wrong person, as we told them. The $2 million bail, last week, our trial judge did agree with me that bail was exorbitant. He didn't agree to lower it as far as I wanted it to, but he lowered it from $2 million to $1 million. I think that's still too high because it's been very hard for him to make that. I think the bail should be no more than, say, $50,000 or $100,000. We probably, after our next appearance in court, which I think is on Friday, June 30th, I probably will ask the court to lower the bail again after I'm going to make a motion at that time, a pretrial motion to dismiss the murder aspect of this case, and I'll probably ask the court to lower the bail again. I think it should be, as I mentioned, in the range of $50,000 to $100,000.
Now, when you said that you think it has to do, they're punishing him beforehand, and has to do with his status, can you elaborate on your thoughts?
I think that there was kind of a rush to judgment, assuming his guilt. They had both of these cases, the robbery case plus this case. Turns out now, Mr. Clay was out of the hospital. The alleged victim was out of the hospital within a week. He's doing well, and we're real thankful for that. The robbery charge has been dismissed. This young man, 23 years of age, been gainfully employed pretty much since he was 8 years old, has a home out in the San Fernando Valley. He has ties. He's lived here all of his life, has great community support. When we go to court, all of his family, many friends are waiting. He has a number of job offers waiting, potential television projects, all kind of spots. Anti-drug spots. There are all kinds of things that he can do where he'll be a lot more help to the community and to himself preparing for this case if he's on bail. So we have to keep pressing that. Mm. You know, absolutely.
Okay. But when you said has something to do with his status.
I think that everybody, you know, his celebrity status, I think there's probably a belief that, well, he has lots of money anyway. And I think that's unfortunate because he doesn't have lots of money. He has some property and he has a lot of potential opportunities to go back to work. But I think he should be treated just like anyone else. And I think, given what I mentioned to you about other people charged, similarly charged, their bail is considerably lower. And that's why I've continued to press that. Okay. And we'll continue to press it.
And but you won't know. You'll be in court again on the
30th of June. Yeah.
Now, the most recent court appearance, is that when the bail was reduced?
Yes, last Wednesday.
Okay.
Yes, I got the bail lowered from $2 million to $1
million. Okay. And are we talking about different judges in the two?
Yes. This was our first time I made the motion before Judge Clarence Stromwall, the trial judge. He lowered it to $1 million. The other judges, there had been two other judges, both named David Horowitz, Municipal Court David Horowitz and Superior Court David Horowitz. They had... The Municipal Court David Horowitz lowered the bail to $2 million. Set the bail to $2 million. And the other one stuck by that bail. So it was Judge Stromwall who lowered the bail to $1
million. Oh. Okay. Let me go back to something you hinted at before. You talked about the fact that Todd has begun to speak out against drug use, and I've seen a couple of, there was something in, I think, Jet Magazine, a few other, where he's talked about not only talking about his drug problem, but also talking about a kind of a religious, I guess, rebirth that he's experienced.
Yes. He has done that, and I've seen this. It seems to me to be very sincere. I've seen him reading his Bible, and just an awareness that I think he looked up and said, how did I find myself in this situation? It's brought him closer to God. It's helped him to understand that drugs are something that no one wants to be involved in. It will take away your will to live, even. And it's just devastating. And he's said that in no uncertain terms. And he's tried to say, to the extent he's been somebody that people have looked up to, that you shouldn't do this. And I've been real proud that he's done that. I mean, he's really violent. It's not any uncanny strategy on our part. It's really his willingness to speak out and to try to get the message out that if he could help just one person, it would be worthwhile to do that.
How is he, in a general sort of way, holding up under the, because it's being in the county jail?
Better than you might expect. It's real tough. It's real tough. I mean, he's optimistic. He was real glad to get the bail lowered to $1 million, although we were hoping it would be a lot lower than that. But he's glad. He sees some optimism in everything. And he kind of puts it in God's hands, and he's been real good about that.
Now, I'm curious about where he's being held. Does his being a celebrity mean that he's in a different facility or a different part of the jail?
He's in the regular jail. He's in a particular cell block, but he's in the jail. I think last time I checked, he was in a cell by himself. But he's in the regular county jail.
Yeah.
And I think it's had a real shock upon him. When he's first arrested, he was on the same row with the man who's supposedly the Hillside Strangler? The Night Stalker. No, the Night Stalker. He said, God, there are guys in here charged with murder. It was a real rude awakening for him.
Oh, he was in the same part of the jail?
Yeah, he was right next to him, the Night Stalker. Yeah, that's kind of a rude awakening. You wake up, it's like, God, what am I doing here? Yeah. So it's had that effect upon him, it really has, yeah.
Okay.
That's true.
How optimistic are you about getting the charge reduced down to an assault?
I'm fairly optimistic. I anticipate having some expert witnesses who will help me in that regard. I'm optimistic that when the truth be told, whether before the trial or after the trial, that somebody, some trier of fact, a judge or a jury, is going to see that this is a young man who was very much under the influence of drugs and acted under the smart of that, that the people involved were all heavily using drugs for about an 8-hour period on that particular date. But he acted out a situation, which was you know, I think as a result of these drugs. And I think that that's not a total excuse, but it certainly explains the kind of how a young man with this background could find himself in this kind of a setting. It's unfortunate, most unfortunate. But I think we've got to paint the picture. You know, when in Rome, you have to deal with Romans, and we, you know, we're not dealing with angels here, so we've got to paint a picture of the people that he was with. And I think we can do that.
Now, you mentioned intent earlier, you saying that, I guess, the fact that he was under the influence of drugs kind of whittles away the idea. Is that what the prosecution has to prove?
Yeah, they have to show the specific intent to harbor malice, to deliberate, to premeditate, with the specific intent to kill. And I don't think they can show that, because I think it was he had been divested of that by the ingestion of these drugs.
Mm. Now, just to clarify for me, you mentioned that this fellow Clay, who was the alleged victim, is someone who Todd had known for some time.
Yes.
Now, there was another gentleman who was...
Harvey Duckett.
And how? What was the relationship?
Well, he was a man who was there that day. He was a friend. They were using drugs together. And Mr. Duckett has turned state's evidence. But again, he too has to admit that there was a great amount of... drug use. He was under the influence of drugs himself that day. And basically, he's in custody. He turned state's evidence to try to get out of jail. And that was all right, to get a lower bail. I think they released him on his own recognizance. But I think, when the facts be told, it'll be very interesting as to his involvement, his overall record compared to Todd's.
Mm, okay. Yeah. So these are people who he, I suppose, are from... They're not people who he has known from his career.
No, these people he just recently met when he found himself over in this area. That's
okay.
Right.
All right. Let me take a quick look. I think we've gotten through all the main points I wanted to ask. Basically,
sure.
We just wanted to get a clarification of what the charges were.
Sure.
The general strategy was. Is there anything that you want to add that we didn't touch upon?
No, I think you covered it pretty well. Just that I'm basically optimistic. It's a tough, tough case, but we've already come a long way on this case. I want very much to get him on bail before we go to trial. I'd like that. And I'd like to, I'm waiting, obviously, as I mentioned to you, I've got expert witnesses who I think will be very helpful to us. And I think that we're going to try to put back together this young man's life so he can go on and resume being a worthwhile citizen. He has a lot of support out there from friends and family and fans. And he's grateful, and I'm grateful for that. We're going to need that support in the future to help him find his rightful place back in society, and I think that's real good. I think that he's one of our children who grew up. We all knew him, and I think it's important for us to continue to support him and help him get back to where he was.
Okay. Let me just get a couple of details straight, and
sure.
I'll get out of your way.
Sure, no problem.
Now, the court appearance on the 30th, that's not the beginning of the trial.
No, that's another pretrial motion date, right?
Okay. And I guess at this point, you don't have any idea when the trial itself...
No, it'll be set probably after that time, I would say sometime during the summer.
Okay. Do you have any idea about how long you think the case will continue once it gets to trial?
Oh, it probably is going to take several weeks, I would think, minimally. We'll go to trial probably several weeks. We'll have a lot of expert witnesses who testify.
Okay. Well, Mr. Cochran, that gives me everything I need.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Listen, it's my pleasure to get a chance to talk to you, finally, okay?